All right, back by popular demand, Jimbo and I were just talking. I don't know if this is the third or fourth year we've done this, but the coming out of semi-retirement for AutoPress for the member guest preview pod, please note that I did talk to JP yesterday and asked if he wanted to phone in, but he is working the First Ed Texas golf camp. Said it was ruining his life.
He called in a couple of years ago from out there, and that was a rough situation. So probably best that we leave him out today.
It's just as well that that he doesn't try to phone in after a long day at Texas golf camp. But anyway, back by popular demand, the member guest preview pod here. I went back through the picks last year, and I think the most anybody got was possibly two. So if you're making your parimutuel bets, I really would take a lot of this with a grain of salt.
I would say surely 2 out of 10 or 12 that we did last year. We got to do better than that this year. So we might be on a hot streak this year.
Yeah, you never know. Anyway, moving on to the first flight is Will Peebles would call it the championship flight. And a few notable, what would you call them, absences this year. No Tim Lovell, who's headed out of town, and no Sam Holtze. Not sure.
He probably didn't want to pay the money to play.
The entry fee did go up $50, so that may have kicked Sam out this year.
Good chance.
But sorry to see them, a couple stalwarts in the field, although Sam never, I don't know that they ever won the flight, but they were always good contributors.
That's a good way of putting it. But joining in this year out of that flight, Jason Griffith and Ryan Griffith, and also John Yarger and Scott Head. So that should be an interesting addition to that championship flight.
Yes. So running through the teams that we've got Jimbo Wilkins and Ricky Brown.
Number one seed,
whether they know it or not. And then we Will Peebles and Scott Campbell back for more. The addition of John Yarger and Scott Head, a lot due to them getting 27 points in their flight last year, 28. And smoking everybody. You've got myself and Drew back again, Jason and Ryan Griffith, and then Lee Rogers and Ralph Campbell have emerged back from the second flight, mainly due to the absences of other people, into the bottom of the first flight.
Yeah, and the way Lee chips the ball, being in that championship flight should be pretty interesting.
Yeah. You know, Lee, the problem Lee's going to have is around the collars. You know, I mean, they're just soft and they don't roll very well.
They're in great shape, though. The collars at Chattahoochee, y'all wait till you see those if you haven't seen them lately.
Anyway, running kind of looking through here, a lot of people are going to not be happy with the committee this year. I'll go ahead and say it, because a couple years ago, we said we were going to start penalizing local players. We say play the majority of their golf at Chattahoochee, play in Tuesday night golf, play on Saturday mornings, play all the time. So all those people all got cut an extra shot this year.
Which, to the committee's credit, I'll give you guys credit. Y'all looked at some historical data, and those groups won their flights a lot of times over the last 3 or 4 years. So it makes some sense to give an additional cut to those home teams.
For the last 3 to 4 years, it was consistently 6 to 7 of what you would call local people are winning the flights. So I think it's a good implementation, but when you see hear your handicap, you may not like it as much. But
let's talk about a few of these teams in that first flight, Stu.
Well, you can always start at the top with Wilkins and Ricky Brown. I told Will Peebles earlier today, I think, they come around like every three or four years, they will just absolutely boat race the flight. Now, it depends what Wilkins you get. And I have no idea. Flip a coin.
So I played with him on Saturday. He played really well. He and Ricky, challenged Lee and I, and Lee and I didn't play bad, and we got boat raced. They may have peaked too early, though. That's what we talked a lot about the last three holes is Ricky with a plus 0.9. Is
plus 0.9.
Is that right? Wow.
Well, you know, Ricky was telling me the other day that his handicap wasn't right, but he hadn't turned in a whole lot of scores lately.
He only plays 3 days a week. Can't imagine why I can't turn them in.
So, but yeah, plus 0.9. So anyway, they're, I mean, that's a huge, I have no idea what is going to happen with them. And obviously Will Peebles and Scott have won the overall, won the flight multiple times.
TFP would be the description for that team. You never know if Peeps misses a few putts on that first nine hole match, because of some grain or something he thinks is not correct, that thing could go down the toilet fast. Or if he gets mad at Scott for missing a few of those putts.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's always interesting in that pairing. They got a love-hate relationship, but mainly love, but there's plenty of hate, especially by Saturday afternoon.
They'll have a great time, though.
They will. John Yarger and Scott Head, one of the, like you said, new addition to the flight this year, and they are handicaps pretty low, but they got cut and then a local cut. So then you've got myself and Drew, which I will say Drew is now a 6.5. He got an actual gin this year. He got off something called the Grint and got an actual handicap. So kudos to Drew.
Yeah, Drew's one of those guys, you know, he comes in here with you, Stu, is a 0.3. But Drew is coachable, and that's what's underestimated in this first flight a little bit. Drew may be the most coachable guest in the whole group, and with you kind of leading the way, I think you made four birdies the other night in T&G from the white tees, and the only reason you didn't birdie a couple of those other holes is because they had the front pin placements, which are impossible out there right now.
Correct.
So I think y'all could be dangerous again this year, coming back after being cut the last couple of years for winning. I look for you two to do some damage in this flight.
I like our chances. Next, Jason Griffith and Ryan Griffith. Obviously, I know Jason really well. I don't know Ryan's game, but sporting a 7.7, seems pretty strong.
He's got to manage the suck and the negative impact that Jason will have on him throughout the tournament, I think.
Will Jason actually be trying to coach him, or will just be mad at him?
It'll be interesting. I do like that Jason is a 0.4. I mean, most of the time he's asking to be a 3 handicap. So the fact that we have him as a 0.4, I think at least limits his damage. But the white tees, Jason Griffith is going to be dangerous out there, folks.
Yes, that's a pretty strong team. And then Lee and Ralph, like we said, Lee, I played with Lee a couple Sundays ago, and he's up to like I said, a 3 handicap. And I was like, Lee, he's like, oh, man, I turn in all my scores. I don't know. And if Lee got within 80 yards of the green, it was questionable if he was going to hit it on the green in the air.
I had two notes on this team. One, when was the last time Lee broke 80? And two, for Ralph, just tired.
Yeah, that's a lot of golf for Ralph.
But nobody will have a better time than Uncle Ralph. I'm sure he'll check a few of your oil out there before the round starts.
Just be careful. All right, so who's your pick?
Stu, I'm going to go with you and Drew, I think. I like that Drew's got a gin finally and is certainly coachable. And you getting shots against Ricky and some others is dangerous. So I'm going with you and Drew.
Obviously, I like that pick, and I will pick myself as well. But I hope the rest of y'all don't pick us on Thursday night so we can win some pair of mutual money. Keep that in mind. Flight two, we've got quite a crew here, and I'll just run through the teams. We got Clay Hammonds and Trent Brown, Ron Bracewell, David Voiles, Billy Peary, Brian Willman, Lee Towns and Sean Ware, Trey Wood and Michael Whiting, and Ryan Thompson and Jeff Wagner. I will note that first team at the top there, Clay Hammonds and Trent Brown, are cut significantly from last year. But they, again, they won their fly. They were the runner, no, third place team last year. Clay Hammonds beat me and Drew in a chip off from Drew and I were in the wild card.
That was a phenomenal chip, by the way.
Hands like Seve. That's where it came from. And so we've got, so those two, which I did explain to Clay on this cut. So Clay's handicap last year was a 9.4, and then he's now a 12. He did have a fourth kid since then, but he's now a 12. And I was explaining to him the other night, you're cut off what you were last year. So you can't get worse and then get cut a shot. You can't be a 9 when you're flied and then come in as an 11. You're cut either or. So they're the top team in the flight. And
Trent Brown at a 1.4. Wow.
I mean, I've heard rumors of a 71 on Saturdays. And
he better shoot that to contend in this flight.
That's going to be a tough ask. But also, you know, you're not supposed to win your flight 2 years in a row. Have a good time. Come back next year.
And that group will have a great time for sure.
Yes. Next, you got Ron Bracewell and David Voiles. I don't know David Voiles, but Ron Bracewell won his flight 2 years ago, I believe, maybe three. But good golfer, 6.7 is pretty good for Ron if he's been playing.
Ron's a solid player. Sometimes has some putting issues. I think he's got 4 or 5 putters in the bag most weeks. So we'll see what he shows up with. It'll be something, you know, probably a long putter or belly putter or something, I have a feeling. But, yeah, very good player and should be dangerous in this flight.
Billy Perry and Brian Willman, this is the first real significant casualty of the 8-shot rule. Bringing Willman in here as a 1.8, and Billy Perry is now a 9. That's going to be tough.
Yes, so explain that, Stuart.
So what we did 3 or 4 years ago, the USGA recommends having an 8-shot rule between your partners so that nobody's getting more than 4 shots off their partner. A few years ago, there were instances where you had 14-shot differences and your partner's getting 7-8 shots every 9 holes or getting shots on par 3s. I know Bob Norton lost a hole on a par 3 because somebody had a shot on a par 3. And so we kind of gradually stair-stepped it in there, but it's been 8 for 2 or 3 years now, and it just helps keep you from getting way too many shots off your partner.
So I haven't played with Brian Willman in a while. Obviously, he moved out of town. But both of his boys have grown up now. I'm sure he's got a lot more time for golf. I guess the only question is, will he be able to keep the hair out of his face long enough to hit the golf ball? We'll see if he manages to flick that hair back and get a hat on or something. He could be dangerous.
We'll see come Thursday night, I guess. Next, you got Lee Towns and Sean Ware. Sean didn't play with Lee, but Lee played last year. I saw Lee over the weekend, and he said that they may be in trouble because his partner is his college roommate who hadn't seen in 3 years, so may get out of hand.
Ooh, the cart girl better look out for that crew there.
stay away.
Handing out beers could be dangerous, sounds like.
That's my takeaway on them, is that there's going to be a lot of excitement. Then you got our coworker Trey and Michael Whiting back for more. Trey's still been playing a lot of golf to be a 5.6.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to Trey is going to be is how angry is he or worried about other people's handicaps. There's a few of you that we know that he likes to give a hard time to about your handicap. Dustin Welburn. So, you know, depending on how worried Trey is about others' handicaps is probably going to determine how well he plays this weekend.
I think that's a pretty good team. Michael Whiting at 7 is pretty good. And then, I mean, this is a sleeper, not even a sleeper team. I shouldn't even say that, but Ryan Thompson and Jeff Wagner. I mean, for years, Ryan Thompson has been known as the best D player in Hall County. He's getting 8.5 shots. Jeff Wagner getting 4.8. I mean, and that's cut to get him to that because of the local rule. So,
Wagner, I mean, I guess it all's going to come down to which swing thought he's got. If it's a good one starting on Thursday or Friday, they could be dangerous. But I've seen it go bad in a hurry.
And, I mean, it can get dark for Wagner. He I mean, you're right. Swing thoughts and stuff, it can go bad.
The good news is that his partner, his give a damn is broke. And so RT, he'll drag him out of the doldrums if he winds up there, I think.
It's not going to be Ryan's fault if Wagner goes dark. We can promise that.
That's right. He'll have a great time. Well, who you got there, Stu? I'll let you pick this one.
I'm struggling with between Trey Wood and Ryan Thompson, but I think I'm going to go, I think just Ryan Thompson and Jeff Wagner. I have no idea if Ryan Thompson's been playing, but I mean, 8 shots and he can hit it 280 yards easily in his sleep. And they missed a few years because of vacations and schedule changes. So I think they're going to be really excited. I'm taking them.
I like that pick, but I'm going to go with a veteran of the flight here. I'm going to go with Ron Bracewell and David Vols. I don't know what kind of golfer David is, but a 3.3 handicap, he must be pretty solid. And you know what you're going to get from Ron Bracewell. He's going to be right down the middle and hit a lot of greens in regulation.
Yeah. I can't fault anybody here. So then this next flight, the third flight, is going to be real interesting for a lot of people. And I'll run through the teams here. Brent and Clay Hoffman, John Payne and Chad Pierce, Dustin Welborn and Kent Henderson, Anderson Dunlap and Walt Booth, Hank Goble and Bubba Franklin, and Bob Norton and Robert Norton. So, you know, in soccer, in the World Cup, they always have the pool of death. This is the flight of death. Like, this is, and I'm not talking about just John Payne and Dustin Welborn. You got Hank Goble in there. You got Bob Norton in there. I mean, that's a murderer's row of handicaps.
Poor Brent Hoffman just got caught up in this mix. I mean, I almost feel bad for him. I saw him the other day at the pool and asked him, I said, goodness gracious, Brent, I saw what flight you were in. And he got cut a bunch of shots, I think, because he's brought his son Clay with him. So
I think he got cut four or five shots to get down there.
Brent, you wound up in murderous row there, unfortunately for you and Clay. But I hope y'all have a great time during the weekend.
And then John Payne and Chad Pierce, I mean, just talk about habitual winners.
All I've got written down right here is ripping cigs and making birdies for Chad Pierce.
Yep, that's right. But if you need any plumbing needs, Chad Pierce is very dependable. He comes to my house all the time.
Absolutely. He and John are dangerous as a team.
Yeah, and then Dustin Welborn, I don't even know, you know, his handicap 3 years ago was a 16, and then he was a 12, and then he was a 10, and now he's a 9. And Ken Henderson, I think he's a 4.6 this year. 2 years ago, he could have been a 9.2. I don't know. So they're probably half what their handicaps are, but the results last year, they lost out on their flight by half a point to John Payne and Chad Pierce.
Whew, that was a death match, I'm sure. Yeah, I actually tried to look up, because I get to hear about Mr. Welborn's handicap every now and then around here, and I tried to look him up, and it actually had NH written beside him today. I don't even know what that means, so I don't know if he didn't pay his fee for his handicap or what the deal is. And Kent, he'd probably tell you he hasn't been playing much golf because he's been politicking a bunch.
But, that's true.
But 4.6 sounds about right for him. So maybe we've got those two somewhere close to where they're supposed to be.
I don't know. I'm still going to be shocked if one of those two teams doesn't emerge from this flight.
I would agree with you.
Next, Anderson Dunlap and Walt Booth. I don't know Anderson's game. I know he plays with the Thursday night crew where they count pars for points, which is great. But I just 10.7, I don't know.
Yeah, but Walt's a solid player, and you know, if he starts hitting it well, he might be able to carry Anderson on some of those holes where the 10.7 comes out. I think those two could be a potential winner in that flight.
Yeah, and then Hank Goble and Bubba Franklin. Hank Goble, the current club. Oh, no, he's not.
He's immediate past.
Just rolled off, but He is a 10.2 this year, is pretty good. I looked a couple years ago, they were cut because they won their flight. So Hank's handicap's back up there. One of our colleagues played with Bubba Franklin over the weekend, and I think he said he shot maybe 80 and wasn't happy with it. So
yeah, 4.8, that's a pretty good handicap for Bubba. I have not ever played with him. I played behind him quite a few times. So that I'm pretty impressed.
He gets to play plenty of golf.
Absolutely.
And then we got the Nortons, always around, Bob and Robert. Robert's gone from about a 0 to now up to a 3.8. And Bob is up to an 11.8, which I did call to verify with Lee Rogers. I asked Bob about this Saturday. I said, Bob, you're an 11.8 now? And he said, yeah, I suck.
Well, I saw him Sunday. He told me that Robert's been in town for a week. So I'm sure he's out getting the lay of the land of the some of the new holes we have at Chattahoochee these days. Those two, yeah, Bob at 11.8 and Robert up to 3.8. That should be a pretty good team.
Bob's main concern on Saturday was that he was not in the same flight as Jason Griffith. I don't know why he thought he'd be, but that was his only question. Am I on the flight with Jason? I said, no. He said, ooh, good.
I'm not sure how a 0.4 and an 11 point whatever
could
be in the same flight, but okay.
Well, on this one, I'm going to go with the most veterans of Hank Goble and Bubba Franklin. I think they may not be cut as much as some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really have no idea who to pick in this flight. Obviously, the team of John Payne and the team of Dustin Welborn just jump out at you as, like, pick me with, like, big stars over them and stuff. I feel like if either one of those two wins their flight, they may both have to play to a 0 next year just so we see, you know, what goes on. So I'm not going to pick them and just see what happens. I'm going to go with the Nortons. At, you know, I think Robert at 3.8 is kind of dangerous, so I'll go there.
Yeah, I like it. Now the fourth flight. This is the flight with Mr. Floyd himself, and leading off this flight is Marvin Clark and Kevin Millwood, the defending champs. So you always like to have them in your flight because you know their handicaps are way lower than they should be. Then Philip Rideout, his debut run with Daniel Falk. Mr. Floyd and Murdoch are back again. Keith Causey and Terry Geary. Geary Griffin, Jason Chester, and then the Mike Smith and Tony Turpin. So running through these, like I said, Marvin Clark and Kevin Millwood, defending champs at a Chasta. So their handicaps are much lower than they should be or than they currently are, but that's the price you pay.
And yeah, just so everybody, you know, we'll go ahead and get it out there. Yes, that is the Kevin Millwood who played in the major leagues, pitched. We did have a lot of joking last year. He was super nervous hitting some of those golf shots in front of 100 people. I'll just tell you how nervous he was. I think he was several cups deep and didn't give a damn about who was up there. But we did give him a hard time. And they did play really well last year in the playoff to win. That team, even being cut, is a very, very solid team.
Yeah, I looked last year. They were in the seventh flight, so they're in some uncharted waters here in the fourth flight this year. But they'll be back down next year, I would suspect. But then you got Philip Rideout and Daniel Falk. I don't know his partner, but all I say about Rideout is that he was the victim to Sam Cuvion's first ever match play win a few years ago, where, as has been explained to me multiple times, and I've heard multiple stories from Sam, he was one down with three to play and went double, triple, double, and he won the match.
That's hard to do.
Or maybe, they were tied and he went triple, double, double and won one up. So,
well, interesting on Philip here. He plays the member with Brett Fowler, who's a 22 point something. and he brings in a 6.2 here with him for the member guest. That's quite a bit of difference there in playing partners. So it should be fun to watch that team, I would have a feeling.
I would assume they will have a good time. And then we come to Jimbo and Michael Murray. What's the latest with Murray? So we've got an 11.7 this year. I feel like Murray's been from like a 9 to a 14, and it really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. You know, he will not have driver this week. We've already had the discussion. He sent me a picture of all of his clubs in a bucket of soap and water, and then a second picture of his golf bag with about 100 golf balls in it. And he said, time for the annual cleaning of the clubs and marking of the golf ball. He did say he had his final range session yesterday, which I can't even imagine what that's like.
Does he still have his 5-wood with duct tape?
He does. Electrical tape on the
bottom.
And
I will say, not picking on you and Murray, y'all are past overall champions.
We have won it. It was now
10 years?
10 years ago, probably. Yeah, so it's been quite a while.
Yes, but winners.
Past winners.
Keith Causey and Terry Geardy have been fixtures here the last couple of years. Keith Causey did just beat Sam Cuvion, we learned this morning, beat him 3-1 yesterday in match play.
And Terry's a member of the Atlanta Athletic Club.
That is true. Very well-known fact. Yep. Gary Griffin and Jason Chester, your next team. Jason Chester, fresh off, I saw that he was a guest in the Achasta member guest, and they won. He's won the Chattahoochee member guest with an unnamed member a few years ago. And now he's back with Gary Griffin.
What does Jason hit off the tees at the white tees at Chattahoochee?
Four iron, five iron, six iron?
I mean, he can't hit driver anywhere.
I don't know. I will say what is now old number 11, what is now number 2. For all y'all, there are going to be a lot of changes, but we flipped the 9. So old number 11. It was about 380 yards a couple years ago, and he was waiting for the green to clear, and he didn't make it.
Whew, that's a big ball. He is he's playing with a great dude. The Gary will have a ton of fun on the course with him. I'm looking forward. We've never been in the flight with them, so I'm super pumped about playing our match against them.
I've never seen Gary play. All I heard is that I feel like they – have done well in senior member guest, or they may have won their flight before, but I feel like that's a really strong team.
I would agree.
And then next, you've got Mike Smith and Tony Turpin, longtime participants. Played with Mike a few weeks ago on a Friday. Mike's hitting it pretty good.
Hitting it real good. Got a new knee.
He's
the bionic man at this point. I'm sure he's played just about every course in North America in the last 3 years. So Mike's always dangerous. A really good golfer. Hits it great. If he gets the putter rolling, he can play really good. And nobody will have more fun in this flight than Tony Turpin. Mm-hmm. Tony always has a great time at the member guest. We were in their flight a year or two ago, and they're a lot of fun to play with.
All right. Well, are you going to pick yourself? Is this the year for you and Murray?
Murray and I are due.
I'd say that.
We played so poorly last year, or should I say I played so poorly last year in the Achasta one. I really feel like you gave me a lesson the other day.
I did.
I managed to couldn't get the ball off the ground off the tee, and Stuart just told me a little simple tip, and I started hitting it in the air again, which is kind of nice. And at 6.5, I better hit a few balls in the air.
Yeah. I don't mind you and Murray. I just never know what Murray's going to show up. Like I said, I mean, y'all have won the whole thing before, and then sometimes you show up and Murray just, you know, wants to have the best time, which he always wants to have the best time. You just don't know what golf's going to come along with it.
That's right.
But As I said, I'm probably going to pick Gary Griffin and Jason Chester. I've just heard a lot about Gary Griffin being a 12.9. So, now the fifth flight. Moving on, we've got Andrew Green and John Green, Robert Jones, Jacob Brinson, Gene Wessler, Doug Liddon, Jim Moore and Jay Moore, Bob Shipley and Ted Versteeg. I may have butchered that name. Fred Kelly and Larry Cunningham. Few notes here. Andrew Green and John Green, there was always a lot of potential. They finally won their flight last year. So,
didn't we have a gamble last year? Andrew Green couldn't hit 310 yards or something. Wasn't there a gamble out there about that?
Well, it may have been 2 years ago that on the podcast he told somebody he hit it 310 or something. And I said, if you put him on a track, man, there's no way he's in at 310.
Yeah.
I'd still take that gamble.
I like it. You know, a few notes here I have on that team. Andrew tends to, I think the word has been he dresses in the dark before he comes to play golf.
That's for sure.
So you never know what kind of LSU colors he's going to show up in. Should be interesting. He and John, though, at the top of the flight this year. So that's a bit of a challenge because that probably means they're giving most of the shots up to the rest of their flight.
Yeah, man, they're cut a shot from last year. So, I mean, still Andrew Green at a 10. And then I don't know his brother at all, but he's cut a shot from last year. So, and then we've got Robert Jones and Jacob Brinson back. It's either 3 or 4 years off for these two. A quick note that I do remember the last time they played, they did end up in the playoff. I wasn't sure if it was from a flight win or a wild card, but Jacob Brinson got called for a now antiquated penalty of grounding his club to the left of what is now number two, which is not even a hazard anymore. And grounding your club in a hazard isn't even a rule anymore. So they got eliminated due to a hazard that doesn't exist and a rule that doesn't exist anymore.
Does that mean they wrote like the RNA and got the rule changed?
I don't know. But I mean, that's basically what I remember.
Did y'all cut Robert Jones? I mean, I'm seeing here a 7.
We didn't do anything with Robert Jones' handicap.
Whoo.
Does that seem a little low?
I've seen him hit it a long way. It's just sometimes it's not the right direction.
Hey, you just remember, handicap's a lot about potential. But then Gene Wessler and Doug Liddon, which if you look at Gene's handicap, it goes all the way back to maybe late April of 2022.
My note next to them is they will absolutely wear you down.
They're both going to hit it straight, and they're tough.
They are a tough out in any flight. I don't care what flight you put them in.
Yeah, you could make Gene a 4 and Doug a 6, and they'd be a tough out.
Yep, every time.
Jim Moore and Jay Moore, another victim of the 8-shot rule, which, I mean, just is what it is. They're going to have a good time, and they keep coming back.
So Jay, I would say, is a gentleman and a scholar. And it's an A++ effort to play in the member guest with his dad. But he really, at some point, may need to call Brian Daniel and ask him to invite him to come play so they can get down there in that 10th flight with all his high school buddies, because he gives up a whole pile of shots. And although I think he played pretty dang good last year,
yeah,
from what I remember.
They've been okay, but yeah, if Jay was I think he's a 19 or a 20 on the board. That's a big difference. Then Bob Shipley and his partner, Ted Versteeg. I don't really know a whole lot. I know Bob Shipley in the past has brought Don Bolin and been victim to the 8-shot rule, so he's moving on to not getting cut very much.
Bob is one of those guys I would always say is coachable too. That Donnie Bolin, he always managed to get Bob around the golf course pretty good. And you'd be surprised at how good that team played over the years. So I don't know, Ted, not sure if he's going to be able to coach Bob as well as has been done in the past, but he's getting all the shots and probably more dangerous at a 14.
For sure. And then the last team in flight is Fred Kelly and Larry Cunningham. I know they've played before, but I don't know Larry, although I know Fred obviously plays a bunch of golf.
Ooh, Fred's a good 6.6, I can tell you that.
So my pick in this flight, even though you think his handicap's a little low, I think I'm going to go with Robert Jones and Jacob Brinson.
I like that pick. I said they're possibly the toughest out in the whole tournament. As long as they stay hydrated, I'm gonna go with Gene Wetschler and Doug Glidden for the win. Although I will say that I think the two teams that will have, I guess overall the most fun will probably be the Green brothers, and then that Jones and Brinson crowd. Those two at the top of the flight. I would say that when the cart girl comes by, they're gonna be refilling their coolers
early and often. Early and often. So moving on now to the sixth flight. This is getting down in some unfamiliar territory for yours truly, and this is where we rely on a few tips. But Ben Puckett and Josh Barheim, Tread Siphon, Harvey Crumley, Neil Booth, and the most fancy name in here, L. Jackson McConnell, Jeff Scorput and Tony Scorput, Daniel Sartain, Kyle Potts, and Zach Allgood and Ken Day. So that top team, Ben Puckett and Josh Barheim, I know a couple years ago they came and Josh's handicap was a little lower than it is now. And he's crept up. Ben still's cut a little bit, but he keeps creeping up. And last year they got a little closer. So that's a pretty dangerous team too.
These two guys, I would say they're working in the right direction. For those of you that don't know, I guess now we're probably past any way anybody could sue me for giving out information. 2 years is the statute of limitations, but Josh is the one that brought COVID to the whole tournament 2 years ago.
That's right.
And tried to infect everybody, not because he knew it, but we did have a good time with that. And yeah, they do. They probably have a particular theory on clothes that they would like to share. Those two will dress up like dandies, I'm sure.
Well, I think, like I said, they're trending in the right direction. Next, Tread, Siphon, and I thought it was Harvell Crumley, but I got Harvey Crumley here. But that kind of threw me off. I'm not sure if that's a typo or not.
It's a typo.
Anyway, they won their flight last year, so they're cut a little bit. Neil Booth and, like I said, L. Jackson McConnell, which is an interesting note here. Neil has played with Walt the last 2 years. And I asked Neil, who said, did you get kicked to the curb or did Walt kick you? He said, no, I did the kicking, very emphatically. so he's not no feelings were hurt, I hope.
I do want to take a second to go back to the Tread Siphon team. I would call, Tread plays a lot of golf and is very, very steady is what I have written down. A great story on him was a couple of years ago. We were playing in the group in front of them, and Murray was a little frustrated with his game. And on now what is number eight, they were playing seven, and he hit a ball on the eight tee box. And Murray was over in the woods seeing a man about dog and came back and happened to see a ball sitting on the tee box and picked up his seven iron. And he hit it probably 165 yards dead in the woods.
Just for no reason.
He thought it was just an extra ball that happened to be on the tee box.
There are only 120 people playing golf.
It was the explanation to Tread was pretty funny when he came up. So great story, memory from playing in the group in front of them a couple of years ago.
The next team, Jeff and Tony Scorput, they're in the sixth flight. There was a year when I played with Jacob Billingsley probably 8 or 9 years ago that we were playing them in either the first or the second flight. And so, I don't know.
Look, we know what we get with Jeff, right? Like, we all see Jeff out there playing a good bit. Who knows with Tony? I mean, this guy may show up with flip-flop golf shoes and, you know, whatever. But if his game is sharp, yeah, they will run through this flight.
Yes.
But you just have no clue which Tony's going to show up.
Yeah, really don't know. But that, I mean, if you tell me Tony Scorpion's getting 12 shots, I always think, oh man, but that's about what they played to last year. I think Tony may have been a 10 last year. It's not like it's double what they played to. It's within reason. So the next team, Daniel Sartain and Kyle Potts, they played last year. I think I picked them last year. I'm not sure why.
You thought it was a fight, not a golf tournament.
That's true. Well, they're back for more. And maybe they'll fight somebody this year. I don't know. But that's a pretty good team. I think Daniel Sartain was cut a little bit, but I think he may have been trying to play some handicap games earlier in the year.
They'll have a great time. That'll be a fun team in that flight.
Yeah, and the last team in here is Zach Allgood and Ken Day. I actually played 9 holes with Zach a couple Sundays ago, and an 8.6 is pretty good for Zach. He could get absolutely hammer it, a few of them.
I've heard a rumor that Zach's been out of the golf course quite a bit here lately. I think one of his kids is playing some, so
she's playing in the Monday night things with a lot of our kids are playing in the Monday night golf league, but she's playing. And but so we went out and played with him and his daughter, and I'm telling you, he can move it out there for 8.6, and then but I don't know his partner, no idea, but that's a pretty good team. Man, this is like rolling 1 through 6 on the dice when you're coming up on this. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
I know who I'm picking.
All right, go for it.
I mean, I'm certainly taking the Scorpions here. I mean, I know everybody else in this flight's probably a pretty good pick, but, you know, Tony Scorpion, if he shows up ready to play, is going to be super dangerous.
I'm going to go with the team that's trending the right way. The third time's the charm for Ben Puckett and his partner. I think they've figured out a lot of things from 2020. 2021 got a little closer. So I think they may have figured out some things. So I'm going to go with them. Moving on to the 7th flight. We got Derek Case and Matthew Shaw, Jason Peacock, Ryan Connolly, John Scroggs and David Dennis, Ed Waller and John Stauber, Rick Story and Will Story, and Don Williams, not Don Jr., and Larry Williams. A few interesting notes here. You got Ed Waller and John Stauber making I wouldn't call it a reappearance, but Ed did win his flight last year with a different partner. So,
did he petition to play the green tees this year?
There were petitions to not move certain tees back because Ed may not be able to get there in 3 on par 5s, which is true. But you can't set up a golf course because one person can't get to a certain hole.
I love it.
But starting at the top, Derek Case, and Matthew Shaw. Interesting note about Derek Case. He's got a new partner this year. He had been playing with his father-in-law, Johnny Thomas, for 3 or 4 years, and finally, I guess, got up the courage and kicked him to the curb, which Johnny likes to drink margaritas and just have a great time. So I've been giving Derek a lot of grief about that.
Well, to remind Derek, it's a buy-in too. We don't do a Calcutta, but it's just a buy-in.
Yes, right. And you got to buy your team. Next, you got Peacock and Ryan Connolly. Peacock at an 8.6. I will say last Monday, I showed up out there for this little kids thing at 5 o'clock, and Peacock's going to his car. And I said, just get done playing. You heading out? What you doing? He's like, I just got done playing. I said, I want to be like you when I grow up. He said, well, I like to come out here every once in a while, just keep my back loose.
Yeah, I was going to say, Peacock's probably got some ailment he hasn't told us about yet. But he's also one of these guys that his kids have gotten a little older. Some of them are out of the house. He's able to get out to the golf course. Matter of fact, I talked to him on Saturday, I believe. And he said he's been going out late in the afternoons and playing a little bit. So – 8.6 for a guy who's he's a pretty solid golfer without an ailment.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, his partner's gonna have a big time. I know Ryan, if he can withstand the heat and the beer cart, he'll be okay.
That's a pretty good team. Next, John Scroggs and David Dennis. John Scroggs, interesting enough, is playing to a 9.9.
Can we confirm he made it back from making alive?
that's on you.
Whew.
I'm not sure about what did he play to it in Eilauer?
He was a 15 point something, getting 17 shots.
And, did they win their flight?
They boat raced the flight.
Okay.
It was funny. We were talking about it on the first tee with my partner. It was the very first match I actually played against John. And I told my partner, we're two down standing on the first tee, so play hard, partner. And sure enough, John and Chris beat us handily, 6.5, 2.5, and then proceeded to pretty much do that to everybody else in the flight.
Well, the last couple of years, he's been right around a 10 in here. Well, this will be the third year in a row, so... I don't know. And he's not a 15.
He says, you know, he hasn't won the member guest, which I understand is correct. He has won a few members.
Multiple.
With Don Grimsley. So, you know, 9.9 is probably pretty accurate. Don't know about David's handicap or anything, but they'll be tough in that flight, especially with John hitting it as solid as he does.
And then, as I mentioned, we got Ed and John Stauber. Ed won his flight last year with Jimmy T. I can't remember why Jimmy T couldn't make it. But so Ed is cut to a 15.6, which, according to Will Hicks, is not enough shots for Ed, that he's not playing well. Take that for whatever you want to. Rick Story and Will Story, I don't have any idea.
I know Rick plays a pretty good bit. And I've always heard Will's a good golfer. I don't think I've ever seen Will play, but I would think they'd be a pretty good team together.
Don Williams and Larry Williams, I don't know. All I know is it's not Don Jr. So y'all that think Don Jr. joined the club and is complaining member guest, there's zero chance he would ever do that.
He's an Illinois.
For sure. For sure. So in this flight, I think I'm going to pick... I'm going to go with Derek Case and Matthew Shaw. I think Derek may have broken free of some shackles. Well, actually, we'll see if Johnny Thomas was really weighting him down or not, but I'm going to go with them.
Well, having seen it and been a part of it in the last couple of weeks, I'm even at a 9.9, I'm taking John Scroggs.
Oh, man. Wow.
I'm just telling you, he hits it good, y'all.
He's taking him at a 9.9, five shots less than he was getting 2 weeks ago. That's a strong pick. Now we're getting down here in this eighth flight where the real fun happens. We've got Colby Merchant, fourth off the waiting list. Got in late. Had a
perseverance.
Well, I will note, Eric Grover had to drop out late last week, back injury, and so that opened the door, and we had to work our way down the waiting list to, because it's tough to find somebody a week before that doesn't think they're going to get in. Anyway, then Colby Merchant and Joe Kennedy are the top team there. Tyler Sims, another one of our coworkers here, Hunter Glenn, Sean Moore, Matt Keedle, Larry Glover, Steve Crumley, Tom Calkins, and Lee Schuchuda. Charta?
Cheesehead.
Steve Cornett and Robert Cornett. So starting at the top there, we said Colby Merchant, Joe Kennedy got in last minute, which is great. They could fill in. Then we've got Ty Sims and Hunter Glenn, which I will say with Hunter, this was the most honest thing that's happened for member guest. Earlier in the week, or late last week, we had gone over everything, and I told Hunter, I said, I didn't know you were 16.2. And he said, I'm not. And I said, what are you? He said, I'm a 10.3. And when they'd been verifying handicaps, they had looked up Glenn Hunter, who was a 16.2. And so we had to get that corrected. So I will say that Hunter, that's probably the most honest thing anybody doing this member guess this weekend is because he could have skated on through with a 16.2, but he didn't.
Yeah, he had trouble 16.2, but I have not played with Hunter yet, but 10.3, all I've heard him do is complain about how poorly he's playing and he can't play to that. I did hear he four putted or five putted a green in a member guest a couple weeks ago. And if he does that at Chattahoochee, he will really struggle. And then Ty, well, you got 15.2.
No idea. Sean Moore and Matt Keetle, I don't know. So some of these, if y'all got tips, we need tips because I don't know some of these people. Larry Glover and Steve Crumley, they play all the time.
Wow, 16.5 for Larry?
I think so.
Larry, I've seen Larry hit the ball pretty good, so that's a bunch of shots, it seems like.
Tom Calkins and his partner Lee Cheesehead. Like I said, they've made it, only because I can't pronounce his last name. They've made it pretty far. I think they came close to winning their flight last year, so pretty strong team.
Tom's a solid golfer, plays every Saturday in the Saturday group, and his partner, great guy, good player as well. So they're, you see how even they are, 14.3 and 13.9. They him and Hawk pretty good, I think, on the course.
And the final team here is Stephen Cornett and Robert Cornett, which I will say that these will be – Robert Cornett will be the most competitive person in this flight. Although the interest – it's amazing how many people tell you how bad they're playing or how many ailments their partner has here in the last couple of weeks. Robert Cornett supposedly has a torn MCL, and the last I heard, he's just hoping he doesn't have to play in a knee brace. I don't know if that's gamesmanship or what. But that's all I've heard from Steven.
You know, at some point you just look at them and say, they're athletes, right?
Right, yeah.
If you're in a knee brace or not, they're dangerous.
That's a really good team. And Cornett is playing a lot. It's school's out for summer. Nothing really going on. You know, Thursday night, Saturday, whenever, it doesn't matter. So that's my pick for the flight is those two at the bottom. Robert Cornett has won his flight. I think it was him and Steven maybe 3 years ago, and they finally been able to team back up.
Yeah, so, Stu, you know, sometimes I think people overthink this a little bit. They think, oh, I got to prepare for member guests, and I got to do all this stuff. Colby Merchant didn't know he was in until last week. I kind of like him. He's like the ninth alternate John Daly getting in the PGA or whatever. I think I'm going with Colby Merchant and his partner, Joe Just Kennedy.
Freewheeling it.
Just let them go get it. I am going to make one other discussion about this. Because I have heard so much about how bad their game is, or his game in particular with Hunter Glenn, I am going to go with they're in the bottom five in the entire tournament for points. So, Hunter, you walked right into that by talking about how poorly you've been playing. And Ty, you got an anchor with you, it sounds like. And that's a big anchor, too.
Now there are 60 teams in this, and you think they're going to be one of the worst five?
One of the bottom five. Oh,
God. They have been talking up how bad they are.
Well, we'll see.
That's a bold prediction. Ninth flight. Almost there. Matt Nix and Brent Goodman all the way down to the ninth flight. Doug Whitley and John Saunders, Jason Doyles, Brendan Haddo, Mitch Cagle and Jay Ely, Chris Childs and Stuart Bailey, Billy Smith and Mark Hamm. I'm going to be honest, out of this flight, the only people I have seen ever play golf are Matt Nix and Brent Goodman.
I've seen a couple others, but not many.
I'm kind of blind here.
Goody's back.
Yeah, Goody is back.
And he's not a caddy.
That's right. He just had some ailments.
He's playing. He, for those of you that don't know, he is well known in this member guest for in a chip off, putting it through the old 16th bunker and making it to advance.
On a hole, what is now number 7, on a bunker that isn't there anymore. There used to be a bunker front left, and the chip off was like 40 yards short and left. Putted it into the hole in a chip off.
It was pretty wild. Place went nuts. And then, you know, my note here on Matt Nix is he's always in play.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I mean, I will pick them in the flight because I don't know these others. I don't know them. So, I don't know what you got here.
So Jason Voels, if we were having like a competition on who the smartest guy in the flight was, I'd take Voels every day in this flight. Chris Childs is a good golfer. I was surprised at 17.6. But I'm like you. I've seen Matt play a bunch. I've played in the same flight with he and Goody in the past. I think those guys are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. And then the ever, I don't even know what you want to call this, the 10th flight. Hayden Embry and Josh Gundlach, winners last year. Michael Green and Brooke Jones. Nate Miller and James Lawhorn. Gary Hutchins with a new partner, Jeff Vellante. Brett Fowler, another co-worker, and Trey McFaul. And then Don Grimsley and Stan Jackson. I know a lot of these people.
Stuart, if you don't mind, you came in earlier and kind of gave me a piece of information here. Would you talk about the shot differential in this flight compared to other flights?
Well, we glanced at it this morning, and Brett was looking at it, and he said there's a 14-shot differential. So Hayden Embry and Josh Gundlach are a combined 32. Don Grimsley and Stan Jackson are a combined 46. That is a 14-shot spread. Just to go back, you have to go. So from the bottom of the 9th flight is a 31 combined. The top of the 4th flight is a 17.6. So you've got 6 flights that are within 14 shots of total handicaps. And then you get all the way down to the 10th flight, and they got 14 shots between the 6 teams there.
There are days where I just wish we had markers to ride around with that 10th flight just to see how many rules and fractions occur in the 10th flight.
Which we did last year. Hayden and Josh Gundlach were the runner-up, made it all the way to the last hole, lost on the last hole. And I think it was somebody on – I can't remember who was there Thursday night. We were looking at the – flights and everything, and they said, oh, we get that 10th, we just hand out shots like candy down there. So they are not afraid to give a lot of shots, but you won't be getting them on par threes. Stan Jackson at a 26.8. But yeah, so Hayden and Josh won their flight last year. Michael Green and Brooke Jones, they play every year. I don't know that they've ever won the flight. Nate Miller and James Lawhorn, that team is very athletic, and you hung up with Nate a little while ago, and he said he wasn't sure about his game, but he'd take his partners.
He did say that. He also, he may have been an anonymous tipster too at some point during some of this information we have.
Then Gary Hutchins and Jeff Vellante, like I said, all I know is Gary has kicked his son out, brought in possibly a ringer at 20.1. I got no idea.
So he plays every Saturday and is a 20.6 is what I understood. That's a little surprising there.
And then Brett and Trey McFaul, which Brett was laughing that Trey McFaul got the local cut from a 20.5 to a 19.5. But Brett is a 22 and Nate Miller is a 22. I don't know who I'd take in a straight-up grudge match between those two.
If you got 6.5 hours, we could find out.
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brett and Trey, I mean, they definitely, before we tee off, they're the most likely to match each other's clothes, excluding the Nortons, obviously, because we know they're going to match.
For sure.
So excluding the Nortons in the whole tournament, the most likely to match in clothing is Trey McFaul and Brett Fowler.
And the best thing about that would be if it happened, Trey would have just bought it all and then given it to Brett Friday morning and said, this is what we're wearing. And Brett would have been so sad. He just had no idea what was happening.
He wouldn't have time to analyze it.
Right. That'd be a problem. He'd just have to go with it.
At the top of that flight. So what I think's funny here, Stu, is Hayden and Josh won this flight last year. There are very few times that a team wins a flight and remains in that flight. like there's almost no chance of that happening. But the committee obviously felt like,
you know, every once in a while there are teams that they end up the same handicaps, and you have to make a decision of who's going to be in the up or down. Who fits in this flight? I mean, you can't take those two out of that flight. They may not play if they didn't end up in that flight with the 10th flight is a lot like the first flight where we play with the same people pretty much every year.
Yeah. I just would love to ride around if they play in the last match of the whole tournament, the Hayden Embry and Michael Green, matchup.
For late Saturday. So if you and Murray are out of it, y'all may just take your last match off.
Yeah, we may just take the last match off and go over and ride around with them and drink beer, because that could be a lot of fun.
So, I mean, in this flight, I will take Nate and James Lawhorn. I feel like a few years ago they kind of run through the flight. But I have no idea.
So I'm looking here. The last team in the entire tournament, Stuart, Don Grimsley and Stan Jackson. Stan Jackson is a 26.8. I know you don't know Stan.
I don't.
I know Stan. He's a pretty athletic looking dude. I cannot figure out how in the world he could be a 26.8. Like, does he move the ball in a forward direction off the tee? I mean,
he's going to be getting a lot of shots.
Don has battled back from back injuries and has taken, you know, numerous years hiatus from the tournament. But he's back, usually plays with John Scroggs and the member has done pretty well. I mean that might be the A++ pick of Don Grimsley and Stan Jackson. All the shots to Stan, and Don getting out there and battling and trying to have fun. Although I did hear that when Don called Stan about playing, Stan's first question was, "Have you ever seen me hit a golf ball?"
So that instills confidence right there.
Absolutely. I do know they'll have a great time. They'll be a ton of fun all weekend. But those two, just with Don's reemergence in the tournament and Stan with a million shots, they could be dangerous.
So you're going straight potential.
I'm going straight potential.
You're betting on, just because his handicap's almost five shots higher than anybody else in the field, he's going to be able to pull something off.
If he can hit it forward.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. And if you're offended by anything on here, just play better.
Or you can call the club president, Larry.
call Larry Baldwin.
Larry Baldwin would love to hear from you if you disagree with anything Stuart and I have said.
Yes, I forgot that. He said that he wanted to be very involved with any complaints about handicaps. In the member guest.
Yep.
So feel free to call him. But anyway, everybody have a great time, and we will see everybody Thursday night.
In that hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man.